So one way that I've heard about it from a visual perspective is to think about a Swiss Army knife, where the chief of staff has so many different skill sets and tools at their disposal, and they're in all aspects of the organization, right? So on some campuses, you may be talking about an operations leader. In some cases, you might have sort of the core or central functions underneath you, like assessment, marketing, HR, finance, fundraising. They're really people who are agnostic in terms of a functional area loyalty because they're really thinking about the division. They really get that 30,000 foot view. They're good relationship builders, and they're folks who overall can understand and translate the vision of a principal to action in the organization.
Hello, and welcome to Student Affairs Now. I'm your host, Keith Edwards. Today, I'm joined by two folks who have served in and thought about the Chief of Staff role. This role in and beyond student affairs often falls under the radar, varies widely, and can be both misunderstood and full of promise. Thank you both for being here to share with us about your experience and your insights. Student Affairs Now is the premier podcast and online learning community for thousands of us who work in, alongside, or adjacent to the field of higher education and student affairs. We release new episodes every week on Wednesdays. Find details about this episode or browse our archives at studentaffairsnow.com. Today's episode is sponsored by Huron, a global professional services firm that collaborates with clients to put possible into practice. And today's episode is also sponsored by Simplicity. A true partner, Simplicity supports all aspects of student life with technology platforms that empower institutions to make data-driven decisions. As I mentioned, I'm your host, Keith Edwards. My pronouns are he, him, his. I'm a speaker, author, and coach. And I help higher ed leaders and organizations make the complex uncomplicated for leadership, learning, and equity. You can find out more about me at keithedwards.com. And I'm recording this from my home in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the intersections of the ancestral and current homelands of both the Dakota and the Ojibwe peoples. I'm excited to have our guests today. Let's hear a little bit more about each of you. And Leslie Ann, we're going to start with you.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Leslie Ann Brown Henderson. I use she, her pronouns. I work at Northwestern University. I've been here for 12 years, and I am chief of staff here. So my official title is assistant vice president and chief of staff in student affairs.
Great. Thanks for being here. And Adam, let's hear a little bit more about you.
Thank you very much. My name is Adam Spolsky. I use he, him, his pronouns. I am the CEO and founder of a strategy consulting and executive coaching company called Transform.Forward. I spent over 20 years on college campuses and in the ed tech space, holding the chief of staff role at a variety of organizations. So this is a topic near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you both for being here. I'm excited to hear from you. I shared with you both, I have had four conversations in the past 2 weeks with people about the chief of staff role. Should they think about it, what it does include, both within student affairs and outside student affairs in higher ed, and also outside higher ed in the nonprofit and other sectors. And so I keep mentioning this to folks as I think it's a really exciting possibility for many student affairs folks who have sort of that eclectic skill set, and then are looking for a right match for that skill set. So you've both served in the role and you've both thought a lot about this, not just your own role, but thought about this role a little bit more broadly. How would you try and define this? Maybe it goes by other titles. Leslie Ann, you mentioned assistant vice president and chief of staff. I also hear assistant to the vice president or assistant to the president. How would you kind of try and define this? Adam, since you're going to kick us off here, since you've been consulting and thinking about this and see lots of different permutations, how would you begin to try and define this?
So one way that I've heard about it from a visual perspective is to think about a Swiss Army knife, where the chief of staff has so many different skill sets and tools at their disposal, and they're in all aspects of the organization, right? So on some campuses, you may be talking about an operations leader. In some cases, you might have sort of the core or central functions underneath you, like assessment, marketing, HR, finance, fundraising. They're really people who are agnostic in terms of a functional area loyalty because they're really thinking about the division. They really
Mm-hmm.
get get that 30,000 foot view. They're good relationship builders, and they're folks who overall can understand and translate the vision of a principle to action in the organization. There's a chief of staff podcast recently, and one of the things that they mentioned on the last episode was about the idea that a chief of staff helps their principal focus on the business instead of being in the business. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I think that chief of staff role excels and comes into place.
I think that's a really great way of thinking about it. Functional, agnostic, sort of spreading across lots of these different realms. And it's interesting to hear you talk about having some core responsibilities there. Leslie Ann, what would you add? Adam was brief and concise. Great job. Yeah. What would you add to fill this in a little bit more?
Well, first, I would echo everything that Adam just said. What I would add is maybe an element of trust, so maybe more values-based. I think that a chief of staff needs to be able to build trust up and down and across the organization, be able to reach out and reach in, and support their principal, right, in every way. So both from preventing them from stepping into landmines, perhaps, or things that they can't see, or because the chief of staff may know some of the history or some of the context that they don't know, be a strategic thinker with them. So and be a truth teller. So again, trust, being able to say, like, there's no way, I've said to my principal, there's no way your name should be on that, whatever sense it is, you know, like, there's no way. So how can we get you out of that? And being honest in those ways. If there are behaviors that the principal is having, it does, and it has a negative, it's feeling negative or has a negative connotation amongst the staff, it's my responsibility to let that person know. And it's also my responsibility in some ways to help the staff understand, right? So it's both and kind of going back and forth. So I think a core function is to be a truth teller, but also to build trust throughout the unit with your principal and certainly with the staff and students.
Yeah, I'm seeing that unidirectional arrow, right? I tell the truth this way, and I tell the truth this way. I help understand perspective this way and this way. You're talking about very functional things. I also knew a chief of staff who would often walk around with the president, and when the president was about to meet someone, she would whisper, "This is Keith Edwards. He and his wife had a baby 6 months ago, blah, 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 blah." And he would like, "Oh, Keith, how you doing? How's the baby? Huh?"
Like in the Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah, I felt so, I felt so special. And then I saw her do it with others and I was like, oh, and then I thought, no, that's really great. This is something that is outside of this person's capacity to know all of these people. And while the president was focused on other things and the substance of the conversation, helping with those relationships and connections and doing some of those things. As I mentioned, we hear assistant to the VP or assistant to the president or chief of staff or AVP roles. Are there other names and language that comes along with this?
Yeah, I've heard like assistant vice president for strategy. There's a lot of like, or director of strategy for an office. What else have you heard, Adam?
So like right now with a couple of my coaching clients who are in chief of staff roles, like we see senior advisor, we see assistant vice president for strategic initiatives, special projects. What's interesting about the title is that oftentimes that chief of staff title appears to be very political. And in some institutions, it's very much only the president can have a chief of staff, or we don't use that title, so here's the alternative, like a senior advisor. And I see that more than I see that with other titles. And I think part of that comes with the historical connotations around military and political aspects of the chief of staff origin. But I feel like it's one of those titles where we see so much diversity in that representation. And Leslie, I think it'd be interesting if you talked a little bit about the NASPA group and sort of like the name of how to encompass all of these titles.
Yes. So we have a new steering group in NASPA, and it's called the Strategic Administrative Operations and Executive Advisory Roles.
I'm trying to come up with the acronym. Is there an acronym or is it just?
No, it's like all the letters put together. Steering committee. And it's very long, but we couldn't figure out something else that was succinct that captured all like the multitude of roles and responsibilities that a chief of staff has. And we were not able to use the words or the language of chief of staff. So we then decided to use descriptors, right? What are key functions of the chief of staff?
Yeah, I think that's a great point about the military origins, and also in reference to indigeneity and
Good.
tribal functions and not appropriating language. I'm also seeing one of the things I've seen, particularly around my work with curricular approach, is folks who are directors of assessment, who are sort of doing the back end assessment, the results part, then start being involved in the learning outcomes and sort of the pre-end. And then that ends up sort of being a assistant vice president, strategic initiatives or learning or engagement or things like that. The other thing you're both reminding me of is kind of having an internal coach, someone who can say, hey, just so you know, in that meeting, when you were doing that thing, I saw half the room just shut down. And so we might need to think about a different metaphor. We might need to think about a different thing here. Anything else coming up for you before we move to our next question? Just kind of fleshing out the definitions and what it can and can't be. I think one of the things I'm often careful of, particularly when I'm talking to folks who want to transition, is sometimes this can be sort of a senior administrative assistant role. And that might be great for some people, but usually the folks I'm talking to, that's not what they're looking for. And so being clear, what really is the job? And oftentimes I find that a little bit hard to hear because they can be written up and described in the job description similarly. But how is this person actually going to use this as a as an internal coach, as an advisor, as someone who goes to the meetings they can't go to, or is this someone who assists them with emails and schedules and things like that?
One of the things I think a lot about is that I need to have the authority of my principal to be able to do my work, right? Depending on what that work is, but I am not the principal. So I tell my principal all the time, I'm not interested in being you at all. But I am here to serve the division and to serve our students. And at times I need your authority to be able to move some things forward, right? And I think that's one differentiator. Is to be able to act with the authority as the vice president or vice chancellor or senior student affairs officer, but not being that person.
And I think that's a great point. So when I talk with senior leaders about, they're thinking about developing a chief of staff role, I always make them read, there's a Harvard Business Review article called The Case for a Chief of Staff, and it outlines specifically levels of chief of staff and what those responsibilities and autonomy look like. And I think the folks who write a job description that is essentially a glorified EA don't really understand the true ability that a chief of staff can bring. If I'm ever coaching somebody and their principal is asking them to like book travel or do some of those things, part of what I try to say is like, can you have a developmental conversation managing up about what you could be doing that their administrative or executive assistant could be doing instead? And thinking more about how do we really professionalize the idea of a chief of staff? And then it's not just about a title. There's a meaning behind what a chief of staff does. And as Leslie Ann said, that's acting as an extension of your principal. It's not just a support style administrative kind of role.
And let me be clear, because I'm sure Adam would say this too. I am so grateful for our administrative staff, right? Like the things that they do and the things that they're able to move on behalf of my principal, me, the office is so, so very important. But our roles are different, and I think that's important.
Well, we're starting to get into our next question, which is how might you encourage folks to look at these roles, and how they maybe are misunderstood and the promise. So I'm thinking about some of the folks that I've been talking to. Oftentimes they don't really know about this role. As we said, they didn't do a paper on this in role in grad school when they did a role in everything else. How are some of these roles being misunderstood? We've talked about a couple of the ways. And what's the real promise that you see in them?
I think one thing that initially comes to mind about a misunderstanding or just a lack of awareness of what is the career trajectory to a chief of staff? And I think one of the nice things about a chief of staff role is that it's not a one size fits all career trajectory. You could come from a very student facing role and eventually end up in a chief of staff role, Or, like you mentioned, Keith, around a director of assessment, somebody who's been very much operationally focused and want to move into that chief of staff role. I think what's interesting is we are seeing the collegiate experience change and our student needs change. We are seeing people becoming a little bit more disenfranchised with the idea of being a dean of students or a vice president for student affairs. Initially, when I was in my graduate program, that was sort of everyone's dream of that's the role I'm going to get to. And now we're seeing people do a lot more critical discernment about their own career trajectory and what they want to spend their day doing. And it may not be that vice president role, but it's being that chief of staff role. My last vice president and I used to joke that he was great externally in terms of all of the navigating the relationships and the donors and the, all of the fanfare. I used to always joke like the lots of the kissing hands and or kissing babies and shaking hands. And for me, that's not what filled my cup. I loved thinking at a systems level and improving things and really strategizing around the relationships and the dynamics. And so I think it's also about choosing what complements your principal. And I think there are so many ways from a career perspective that you can do that where it doesn't rely on having experience in a single functional area. And I actually would conjecture to say that you benefit from having exposure to a lot of functional areas because you end up having to learn so much about all of them.
I think that's one of the things that's appealing to me is I'm someone who's curious about so many things and interested in so many functions, and being able to dabble in a lot of these and go from thing to thing to thing, I think for some people would be really exhausting. For me, is super energizing. Leslie Ann, what are you seeing that maybe is misunderstood, and maybe what's some of the promise you see in this role?
I'll start just by saying that, I went to a master's program in higher ed, and I certainly wasn't thinking like my ultimate goal is to become a chief of staff. My background is very much in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and I think most people put me on one of two trajectories, similar to what Adam is saying, right? Vice president of student affairs someday, or chief diversity officer was somewhat of the other. And neither of those appealed to me in a for lots of different reasons, including I have three small kids at home and I'm navigating life as a young parent, right? A parent with a young family. And after I had my second child, I remember starting to think about like I'd been in my role for some time and what other things might I be interested in doing? So I kind of revisited the VPSA piece and I said, well, not now, definitely not now. And for whatever reason, Chief of Staff came to my mind at that time. I'd known three people in student affairs who had gone on to be chiefs of staff to presidents of universities. And I did some informational interviewing with them and learned a lot. And then about 9 months later, an opportunity came up for me, and it was exactly in this area. So maybe answering the promise piece, I think the promise is that right now we're seeing a lot of interest in the role. And the promise is that you don't necessarily need one per it's not a functional area, right? It's not like you're moving from student activities to a student activities director to the next to the next. There are lots of tools that you need in your toolkit to be successful, and you can get those tools in lots of different ways. So I think that's promising for a lot of people who feel like I'm not on an upward trajectory to a particular place, right? But I like what I'm doing when I'm doing it, and I kind of listen for my life to speak and say, okay, it's time to transition to the next thing, and what might that next thing be? One of my favorite quotes is by Steve Jobs, and he says, you can only connect the dots looking back. And I think for me, that's certainly how I think about how I got to this role. My PhD is in counseling psychology. My functional area was right in the diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice space. My current principal, her two priorities are mental health and well-being and DEI, right? Like it just happens to be that way. And across the country, that's what people are looking at right now. So 20 years ago, I couldn't have imagined that that's where higher education would be and my skill sets would be so valuable at this time. So that's, I think, some of the promise. What, how is it misunderstood? I think what you were saying before that, it's some use it as an EA, maybe an executive assistant or some type of assistant. I think the role could be underutilized. I think also the role, I mentioned trust before, but I think it requires ego check by both the principal and the chief of staff, right? The person in the role. Because I think the principal has to understand that they can't be everywhere all the time, and they have to trust this person to be able to step in on their behalf or to meet with the other assistant vice presidents or to do whatever to keep things moving while we're prioritizing the principal's time in the most impactful way. But there is a letting go, there's a trust, and there's a you can't be all things to all people. And I think there's a little bit of an ego check that a principal needs to be able to do for themselves to be able to have a chief of staff. And the same with the person, right? The person is not the principal. You are not the principal. And later on, I can tell an example about when I've really had to think about that, and when I rubbed up against some of that for myself, because I think it's easy to do. And I'm a person who doesn't tend to have a whole lot of ego going into things. So
Well, I want to hear that story, but let me just share a couple of things, and because I think you might connect with them, that I'm thinking about is I'm thinking about balancing alignment versus complementary, not praising, but like sharing different skill sets. So for folks thinking about this, where are you looking for a principal who you're really in alignment, shared vision, really connect with, really vibe with, versus where are you looking for a principal where you bring something really different than that what they bring? I could see both of value. And then I'm also seeing the balance of a commitment to the individual in the leadership role. And then also I'm hearing from both of you a commitment to the institution, sort of above the individual. So having to balance my loyalty to this person in some ways above the institution, and at the same time, sort of a loyalty to the institution in some ways above the individual, and navigating that nuance and paradox. I love complexity, but I don't like it when it's complicated. So does that connect with your story in any way?
I think it does.
All right,
So
let's hear
I'll
it.
tell the
Let's hear it.
story and maybe you all can tell me. So one of the things that I do in my role is I help to support one of our committees on the Board of Trustees. And Board of Trustee meetings, I'm at a private institution, so things are pretty locked down, right? Like it's very tight, getting into meetings, being able to go to certain meetings. So there's a lot, dinners, lunches, like all of that is pretty locked down. And in 1 year, I served three different principals. And that's another story that we can talk about. But in between, because we were in transition, I was allowed to go to all the board meetings. And I found that really helpful to be able to strategize afterwards with my principal. And once we transitioned to a permanent vice president and they were in place, those opportunities to be engaged to that degree changed, right? And I found myself feeling very frustrated by that, particularly because there were others who held the same title that were allowed to, right? So there was some of that for me, I think, was about us being in student affairs. Some of that may have been around gender and race playing out, right? Like I have lots of questions about why, but I found myself really getting stirred up about being not having the access. And as I was prepping my principal, I really had to stop myself and I said, what is my role? My role is not to necessarily be in the room, although I think I deserve to be there. My role is to make sure that my principal's prepared to be in that room, right? So that was my own ego check in that moment. And I was able to say, all right, so here's how we can pivot. And we have fundraising is under me with in collaboration with my principal. And there's a lot of fundraising that happens at these events, right? So how do I use the in-between times to do some of that work if I don't have access to the actual space? So I just think I had to really rethink, set myself straight on like, actually, here's your purpose. You are not the principal. So the principal's supposed to be here, then your role is to make sure that they're prepared to be in that space and then do some work in the in-between.
Well,
So
and I'm
that's
imagining that as there was change and new principals and interim principals, that your status sort of elevated to sort of be more co-equal. And then when there was a new permanent person in place, then that sort of shifted back, and obviously jarring for you, but I can see how that can make sense. It also seems like someone with a real servant leadership mindset, again, both to the institution and to the principal, is pretty key here.
I
Yeah.
think the other thing that Leslie's comments and her story highlight is that more so than most other positions, you can be an AVP and have to think critically about the relationship with your supervisor, but at a chief of staff level, it's a whole different depth, right? That relationship with the principal is the core tenet of your role as you are acting as an extension of them, as you are supporting them. And that dynamic, as you mentioned, Keith, about complementary skills for similar skills becomes really important. And I think oftentimes when you're thinking about transitions in your principal, there is much more of a reflection period when that new person is coming on board than an AVP. Not to say that that supervisor relationship isn't important, but if I'm going to be an extension of somebody and have to think about the ways in which I complement the skills that maybe they don't have, that dynamic is way more important and way more complex than just will I have a good supervisor in the incoming person who's going to be in that principal role. And Leslie and I both share the three principals within 1 year mindset. And every time you're thinking about what is my experience going to look like, because they literally make or break that experience for you.
Which is interesting because I think this appeals to people who find a leader they really admire or find an institution they're really committed to. And then you put yourself in this to serve that. And then when change happens, you might find yourself more at the whims of those winds of change than maybe you would in another role where you're the director of student activities.
And you might find that they want to take you with you to a new opportunity. And that's different, I think, than we think about traditionally with a vice president for student affairs and some of their other direct reports.
To answer your question about alignment, I think that there has to, for me, there needs to be values alignment, and that's important. And our styles, like me and my current principals, our styles are pretty different. There's some similarities, but we're fairly different people. And I think we bring out the best in each other. She hasn't been at the university for a year yet, so we're still getting to know each other, right? But I definitely feel like there's value alignment, and that's really important because both for, and you mentioned institution, but I also think the division, right? And sometimes we think here, like big institution, you think you're a small team, but then there's the division, which operates obviously within the institution, but a little bit separate from. And I feel very committed to our division. I have this event called, or this luncheon called Lunch with Leslie Ann, every month where I random assortment of staff, we have lunch and we just kind of talk. And one of the things that I like to say to our team in student affairs is that I am definitely our principal's chief of staff, but I am each of their chief of staff too. And that is really important for me to say to them and for them to hear from me. And my loyalty is to them as well, right? And I think that that's part of the role, that's part of the job, of a successful chief of staff, I think. Is again building trust not only with your principal but with all your colleagues and everyone else in the division and certainly our students in student affairs who's our heart and soul.
And I think that brings up an interesting dynamic as you think about that relationship building and being the chief of staff for others, especially with the principal senior leadership team, right? So you want to make it clear, like, I'm not trying to be your boss. I'm not trying to replace that. There are ways in which I can help you be better with your supervisor, whether that's talking through an idea or giving you feedback that I know that they're going to give to you based on this proposal. And so really getting people to not see you as competition, or somebody trying to be have an overinflated ego, but more as a partner and how you can better support that. Because oftentimes a chief of staff role does have an element of gatekeeping to it. And I think it depends on how well you navigate that, of what kind of gatekeeping that feels like, and whether that feels like a positive experience for people or an ego trip.
There's a book, a chief of staff book called The Gatekeeper. And I read it, and one of the things that I can't remember who talked about is the spokes of the bird of the wheel, the spokes of the wheel, right? So the principal's in the middle, and everyone has equal access to the principal. And this person ends up saying, like, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And part of our role as gatekeepers, at least I like to think about it, it's not only keeping people out, but it's making sure that you have time in, right? So I am trying to think about, oh, this person hasn't had a one-on-one in 3 weeks. Let me make sure that they get in because these things are going on. Or you need this time, so let's make sure you get in. And but then that means this person's not going to be able to get in at the same time, right? So some of the gatekeeping is really maybe juggling, right? Like, how am I juggling people having access to the principal without wearing the principal out? And also making sure that the things that need to get to them are getting to them. And if there are other places that I can help, or divert to other places, then let me do that so that then you can bring these five things on your agenda to our principal versus have an agenda of 10 things, right? Like, let's work on these five together. And then these five, you definitely should bring them to the principal. And here's some things to think about. And that way they're maximizing their time with our principal.
And I think that also, when we think about vice presidents for student affairs, oftentimes they are wanting to meet with as many people as they can and take that student meeting. And it's our job to help them understand that's not maybe the best use of your time. Let's talk about how to prioritize. And that's where the relationship between the chief of staff and the executive assistant is so important, and why you'll often see the vice president's chief of staff supervising directly the executive assistant, because they're a team in navigating that front office and thinking about how should time be spent, and what does that access look like, and how do we juggle those multiple responsibilities? Because I think oftentimes our principals underestimate the amount of time that they'll be in meetings, and they still have other stuff to do. And we gotta make sure to help protect that time with their EA so that they can do those things and figure out when that thing shouldn't be on their plate at all and it needs to be delegated elsewhere.
Well, it's no surprise to me that we're talking about partnerships and collaboration and working cohesively. I didn't see the juggling metaphor coming up multiple times, but here we are. Here we are. I'm thinking about Adam, you were just speaking to maybe our audience who's thinking about, do I want a chief of staff or someone in this role, and what would that look like? I want to look at it from the other direction as well. Maybe student affairs professionals who are thinking, is this the right for me? Is this the right move? How might you encourage folks to look at these roles, both from their organization and for themselves, for people who are considering or thinking about this? It might this be right for me? What kind of, from your experiences, what kind of things would you encourage them to look for, to be wary of, to be cautionary?
I think one thing to keep in mind is that, again, we talked about the importance of that principal relationship. So, not every chief of staff role is going to be the same across principals. And not every principal knows how to utilize a chief of staff. And so, it's not going to be as simple as, oh, you have a job description and it's going to be the same across organizations or divisions. I think the other thing that there has to be some element of a critical reflection, because Leslie Ann hit this on the head of, you can't have an ego as a chief of staff. It's not about you. It's not about the spotlight. It's about the organization and the division and making that better for everyone. And that's hard for some people, because oftentimes you may be writing the best speech of your life and it's for your principal, right? It's giving to others and giving to the organization to help everyone make those strategic priorities happen. So as people are thinking about it, for some folks, like Leslie Ann mentioned, you want to move up, but you have other commitments outside of work that you want to balance. You don't want to be going to programming in the same kind of way. You don't want those same kind of off-hour commitments. And so I'm never going to say that a chief of staff doesn't have those, but it's a different kind of environment, right? It's more about probably crisis management than it is about going to this particular activity. Also, if you just have skills in operations and systems, and that's really where you're filling your cup, I mean, that's a lot of what we do. We design process, we really think about engaging stakeholders. And so thinking about the things when I talk with folks about like what fills your cup, and oftentimes if those are falling into more of that operations and administration side, you might want to consider a chief of staff. If you also love that 30,000 foot view, but also have the skills and ability to get in the weeds when you have to, that's great. Obviously, if you have a strategy mindset, oftentimes the chief of staff is responsible for owning the ongoing monitoring and maintenance of a division's strategic plan. And so thinking about you, if you like that concept of the chief strategy officer, oftentimes that's put with the chief of staff role. So really thinking again, how do you like to spend your time? What do you find to be the most rewarding? And if that's more on that operation side, you might be a good fit for the chief of staff.
Yeah, I'm thinking too about, and I think this is less the case in student affairs because folks rise up from doing the work, but I'm also thinking about the nonprofit sector. Folks moving from higher ed to these roles in the nonprofit sector, where it is quite common to find a visionary leader who can't execute much.
Yes.
And so finding someone who you admire their vision, love what they're committed to, love hearing them speak, who then behind the scenes can move those things to reality and do some of that, I think can be really powerful ways. And so I've seen a number of student affairs folks move into these kinds of roles in the nonprofit sector and other places and find them to be very rewarding in those kinds of ways. Leslie,
one thing I will say,
go ahead, Leslie.
Real quick to that note, if you're thinking about the chief of staff role in the corporate sector, that is a different kind of world. So oftentimes we can see a chief of staff, whether it's at the presidential level or the vice presidential level, as a terminal position, right? Some people will live out and retire out of a chief of staff role. In the corporate world, oftentimes a chief of staff is seen as a stepping stone role. And it's either rotation to get you exposure to multiple functional areas to end up being a functional leader, or it's a stepping stone role to a chief operating officer role. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, as we think about career trajectory, it's not always going to look the same in the education space, in the government space, in the industry. And so you really have to think about like really discerning what you're looking at when you're looking at a job description and going back to that Harvard Business Review article, like what level are we talking here and how long should I expect to spend in this role?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of my master's program. One of my mentors reminding us that the if you've been put in charge of special projects, you're either on your way up or on your way out. And it'll be short-lived and you'll be moving up in the world or you're being moved on the way up. Leslie, what would you offer folks who are beginning to think about this or maybe just ideating around this? What would you want them to pay attention to as they're exploring?
One of my colleagues here at Northwestern said, I don't know how you do your job. Mm-hmm. It's just so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like this one thing. This is the one thing that I do. Right. And, you know, I'm working deep, but this is my lane of sorts. And you're like in all the lanes. So I think one thing is to know that about yourself. Is that something that you're going to like or not? For me, being in the chief of staff role, one thing I knew that was going to be important to me was still to have some of my own things while I'm managing other people's things, right? And, or my principal's things. So what that looks like is I do supervise a number of staff or areas. I have marketing, communications, assessment and planning. Like I said, I work with fundraising and I have the bookends of the experience now, the teams that do orientation and graduation. So that is currently my portfolio as well as managing the office of the VP. So I have things that are just mine that I need to be doing. And then I certainly have strategic initiatives, strategic priorities, and the everyday either crisis or urgent. Yes. The things that come up and you're like, okay, I got it. I can do this. So that's one thing. I think the other thing that people need to think about is one of the things, the tools that I use a lot in my work with my principal is I think my counseling degree. Like I try to anticipate. I look for things that are not spoken either in the room or what's not said and how we can interpret those things. So it's really being willing to pay attention, right? And to work with someone and to learn their idiosyncrasies, to learn their strengths, to learn the things that bother them. And to take note of those things and use them to be able to help and support and help them be successful so that the division is successful, right? Everyone is successful. And certainly that success is for our students. So That's another thing that I think you have to like doing or be not, and I don't think you need a counseling degree to do that. Absolutely not. But I do think you need to be willing to do that. And then the last thing I'll say, in addition to what Adam's already said, is you have to think at a team one level, right? So when I'm in whatever room I'm in, I'm not just there for me. I'm actually not just there for my principal. I might be there for our dean of students. Like I'm thinking as something's coming up, oh, this person needs to know that. Or I'm thinking, oh, marketing and comms. Like I'm constantly thinking of connections, either partnerships, collaborations, or just connections that need to be made so that things can move more smoothly or more collaboratively together, right? And so when I'm in a space, I'm often not just sitting there and thinking for my own benefit or for the benefit of the people that I supervise, but I'm certainly thinking like team one, big division, everyone, who needs to know what or who needs to be connected to whom. So that's another piece of the work that I think is really important.
And I think to Leslie Ann's point about this idea of you always have multiple things going on. You always have a parking lot of projects or a back burner of things you have to get to. And part of it is like you have to have a regular and ongoing Eisenhower matrix in your mind of like what's critical and urgent and how do I decipher some of those things. Because part of that is you're doing some of that decision making for your principal. And it's not just about being given work, but it's also about prioritizing and generating your own. I
Yeah.
can't tell you how many projects are because I was in a meeting like Leslie Ann noticed, and I noticed something and I'm like, that's a problem. Let's fix it. And that becomes a project on my plate then.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we are also creating our own work because of having that initiative. And for some people, that's exciting. And for some people, like that's just not their jam. But that's, I feel like, a core part of the chief of staff role that you've got to enjoy or at least be comfortable with to be successful.
Well, this has been great. I find it really interesting and intrigued and am super curious, but we are running out of time. And so we always like to close. The podcast is called Student Affairs Now. So I'd like to close with the question, what are you thinking, troubling, or pondering now? And if folks want to connect with you, where can they do that? So Leslie Ann, let's start with you. What are you troubling now?
So I'm looking at what's happening across the country with the DEI roles. I just saw University of Florida in the news. I know what's going on in lots of places. And for maybe this is a thought for my colleagues in that space. One of my favorite things about being chief of staff is that I again get invited to places because I'm representing the division or our principal, but they never expect to get a DEI person too. So I bring that lens to all my work, every conversation, and whether people like it or not, it's a part of what I bring. And because I'm in this role, I have a lot of access. So it tends to go far, or I can help a message from some of my team or colleagues who work in that area. I can bridge it into those conversations. So I'm really thinking about my colleagues across the country in that functional area and wanting people to stay encouraged, to know that your skill sets and the work and our students need you. And there's lots of ways, chief of staff might be one of them, in which you can engage and employ those skills and that talent, because we certainly need you in the field.
And not having those DEI things in the title or in your role and your function, sometimes you're heard in a very different way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I still think those roles are very important. And my
For sure.
colleagues who are in those roles, please continue to do that work. But if this interests you, just know that this might be another avenue for you to use those skill sets. And if you're interested in connecting with me, you can certainly email me, labrown@northwestern.edu. Or I wouldn't send you to my Instagram because that's more, unless you like fitness and food and family. But
Yes.
Facebook is another good place, or LinkedIn.
Awesome. Adam, what are you troubling now?
I think what's been interesting, we're seeing a lot of conversations around, the ROI of higher education and the increasing cost. And oftentimes, the first positions on the chopping block for higher education are what's considered overhead. And while on paper, a chief of staff role might seem like overhead, what it can contribute and return back to an organization is tenfold, whatever that salary is going to be, in the ability to prioritize their principal. And so really, as I think about senior leaders thinking about making the decision to have a chief of staff, really thinking about it beyond just the numbers and about the actual impact that these roles can have. And so I know that those conversations are becoming more challenging as budgets get tighter, as state allocations get reduced, or, you know, donor dollars, we're seeing struggling all over, but really thinking about what else this can do for your organization, because it really can be a mission critical position. If folks are interested, I'm big on LinkedIn, so they're welcome to connect with me just searching my name, Adam Cebulski, or checking out our website, t.f.com. Dot is spelled like the word dot, transform.forward. And we offer, they can see all the things we offer, including consulting and executive coaching. And we do a lot within the chief of staff space.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for this. This has been great. Really appreciate your leadership in this space. And also want to thank our sponsors of today's episode, Huron and Simplicity. Huron is a global professional services firm that collaborates with clients to put possible into practice by creating sound strategies, optimizing operations, accelerating digital transformation, and empowering businesses and their people to own their future. By embracing diverse perspectives, encouraging new ideas, and challenging the status quo, Huron creates sustainable results for organizations they serve. And Simplicity is the global leader in student services technology platforms with state-of-the-art technology that empowers institutions to make data-driven decisions specific to their goals. A true partner to the institution, Simplicity supports all aspects of student life, including, but not limited to, career services and development, student conduct and well-being, student success, and accessibility services. To learn more, visit simplicity.com or connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. As always, a huge shout out to our producer, Nat Ambrosi, who does all the behind-the-scenes work to make us look and sound good. And we love the support of these important conversations from our community. You can help us reach even more folks by subscribing. Subscribe to our podcast, subscribe on YouTube, and subscribe to our weekly newsletter announcing each new episode each Wednesday morning. If you're so inclined, you can also leave us a 5-star review. It all helps us reach more folks. I'm Keith Edwards. Thanks to our fabulous guests today and to everyone who's watching and listening. Make it a great week, everybody. Thank you.